Third case, Tisha versus Alberto Gonzalez.
Good morning.
You're Mr.
Jeff Taylor on behalf of Mr. Tisha. May it please the court. This is a sad case factually. Mr. Tisha's mother had won the diversity lottery visa, an immigrant visa through the diversity lottery program, and she and her husband and two daughters moved to America pursuant to that program. Mr. Tisha, because he was over 21, was not allowed to go with them. The very next day after they left, he had what I think in common parlance would be called a nervous breakdown, and was then seen by a doctor, Donica Kerensky, and who diagnosed him basically as having a psychiatric disorder and prescribed for him flupenazin and antipsychotic medication to treat schizophrenia and symptoms such as hallucinations and delusions. His mother came back to stay with him. Eventually, she had to come back, I would imagine, so she wouldn't lose her permanent residence, so she wouldn't abandon her permanent residence in the United States. Mr. Tisha then arrives in the United States through use of a false Italian passport, arrives in California, and makes his way to rejoin his family, which is now all living in Illinois here in the Chicagoland area. He stays here, and is eventually set up by his sister with the DuPage County Mental Health System to receive treatment for his psychiatric disorders. He begins treatment in January 2004.
How do you define the social group that he belongs to in Albania that is persecuted?
I think the social group in this case, Judge, is easy to define. It's severely mentally ill people. Everyone could have a need for anxiety medication or for slight disorders, but in this case, I think the disorder is severe. The treatment he's receiving
is
poor.
Difficult group to really define, isn't it? Well, what are the parameters of a group like that?
People are receiving medication for hallucinations, delusions, who are schizophrenic. I think that's an easy group. I think that fits within Acosta and this court's cases as to a particular social group.
So any country that has, less than ideal treatment regimens for people that are suffering from mental illness would be entitled to asylum in the United States?
Not every. It would depend on...
Where do you draw the line?
It depends on, just as we have various degrees of mental states in criminal law, like criminal negligence, recklessness, knowledge, so that it can be said to be purposeful, that these people are being treated in barbaric conditions. I think that type of analysis can be applied to this situation here.
So each person needs a physical exam in order to determine whether or not they're a member of whatever the brackets are in this social group.
They don't need an exam. In this particular case, this gentleman does, Mr. Tisha does suffer from a severe mental illness.
Well, he's depressed. He misses his family. He's the only one left behind, and he has problems. The medicine he got over there was minimally adequate, much better when he got over to the United States. But that's a pretty, subjective social group. It doesn't have any identification that most, when we talk about social groups, it's usually you're a member of a tribe or some group or even political group or something. But it's hard to fit people in the brackets of what you're referring to. You can look at his individual situation and say, yeah, he's got it tough, and it'd be better medicine over here in the United States. But that's true for economic claims and lots of other things.
Judge, Judge, true, there are some, like, some characteristics, such as the amount of money a person has, perhaps someone can change that. But I think having schizophrenia or having a severe mental illness is not something that any of us can just go about and take another part-time job to try to rectify. As the court is well aware, the definition of what constitutes a particular social group is a group of persons, all of whom share a common immutable characteristic. It must be one that the members of the group either cannot change or should not be required to change.
For which they're being persecuted.
Well, that's another
by the
issue.
Government.
That's another issue, Judge, and that.
Well, no, isn't it pretty important? I mean, you don't get asylum just because you're not healthy.
I agree with Your Honor. I agree. The persecution issue in this case is perhaps a bit undeveloped in the record. But as I indicated, I think easily possible for the court to distinguish states such as countries where they try their best, but they're poor, to afford a level of care. And those countries, I mean, to take an extreme example, if they put people in cages and went back to the bedlam treatment that England afforded to the mentally ill.
Yeah, you can look at that as maybe some torture or some persecution, but about, I would say, most countries in the world have worse medical care than we do here. And you can go to all the ones lined up, Africa, South America, lots of other places where they just don't have good medical care. That doesn't mean just because the government doesn't have good medical care that they're persecuting people as a result of that.
I think the court's concern is with the lack of a record. I think the court would agree, or perhaps that if there was treatment by a government, such as locking people up with hay and just throwing them some scraps of food, that would be discrimination. That would be persecution. You can't treat human beings that way. That's what the asylum law's purpose is for. The question in this case, perhaps, has persecution been shown? I think that, candidly, there's a problem in the record with that. I was not trial counsel, and I think the record has not been developed anywhere near what it should be.
Well, maybe because it doesn't exist. We don't disagree. The guy's got a problem, and it is unfortunate. It's personal. It's medical. Maybe you can even say, well, the government ignores him, doesn't help him. That's a lot of people.
I just would wish to point out to the court, if the court does feel that there's perhaps an issue as to proof in the record, that's different from the court announcing a principle of law that severe mental illness, can never be a particular social group.
Okay, well, we can, go to that threshold. That's simple enough. You want to reserve your time for rebuttal?
Yes, Judge.
Okay. Bain.
Your Honor, may it please the court, Adam Bain for the respondent. This court should deny the petition for review for several reasons. First, the court does not have jurisdiction over the asylum application. I think, as the court indicated in the last argument, it does not have jurisdiction regarding the timeliness determination of the application for asylum. Second, the immigration judge did not deny the petitioner his due process rights at the hearing. While the immigration judge asked several questions at the hearing, at no time did the immigration judge preclude the petitioner from offering evidence or examining witnesses. In fact, many times the immigration judge asked petitioner's counsel whether he had any further questions or any further witnesses to call. Finally, I think what the court was getting at in its questions to petitioner's counsel is whether or not there was substantial evidence to support the Board of Immigration's decision that the petitioner had failed to establish eligibility for withholding of removal because he could not show a clear probability of persecution based on membership of a particular social group. The petitioner's counsel before the immigration judge and before the Board of Immigration Appeals defined the social group as mentally ill people in Albania who could not receive proper medical treatment. The Board of Immigration Appeals did not determine whether or not that was a cognizable social group under the Act, but it went to the other factors. Assuming that it was such a social group, it found that the petitioner could not prove that he was a member of that group because the petitioner had actually gotten treatment for his mental illness in Albania and had seen a psychiatrist in Albania and had gotten medication. Additionally, when questioned at the hearing, the petitioner said he didn't have any evidence or any indication that he could not get his medication if he were to return to Albania, the antipsychotic medication, which has successfully treated his mental condition here in the United States. So petitioner could not show that he was a member of a social group as it was defined by petitioner's counsel below, and he could not show a clear probability of persecution based on membership in the group because of the evidence that was presented at the immigration hearing. So he's unable to establish a clear probability of persecution, which is necessary for withholding of removal. With respect to the timeliness issue, I just want to raise a point in that the petitioner's brief indicated that this case may be saved by the Real ID Act, which allows for review of constitutional issues and questions of law. This court has squarely held in the Vasil case that the determination of timeliness with respect to extraordinary circumstances does not come within the Real ID Act's exceptions for questions of law or constitutional questions because the timeliness determination is primarily a factual determination. So the court has looked at this particular issue previously and has found that it does not have jurisdiction with respect to an asylum application. Unless the court has any questions with respect to the findings below, I think that that's covered. There are substantial reasons, as I mentioned, not only the lack of jurisdiction for the asylum application, but the petitioner did not make a case that there was a clear probability of persecution based upon membership in a particular social group. And I might add, with respect to that last point, the court's questions to the petitioner's counsel, with respect to what would be a showing of persecution, clearly the lack of resources to treat mental illness at a country is not sufficient to show persecution. And the Raffington case in the 11th Circuit addressed this issue specifically. In that case, a Jamaican alien claimed that she was discriminated against because of a mental illness, because of a lack of resources in Jamaica for treating her mental condition there. And the court found that the lack of resources, the lack of state-of-art medical care for mental illness was not sufficient to show persecution. So I think that that's right on point with this case. Granted, Albania does not have the same degree of mental health care as the United States does, but that is not sufficient for a showing of persecution. In addition, this particular alien did receive psychiatric care in Albania previously. He was given medication previously, and so he was unable to indicate, even in his circumstance, that he would not be able to get mental health treatment if he were to return to Albania. So for all these reasons, the court should affirm the Board of Immigration Appeals and deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Do you have anything to add, Mr. Falwell?
Sorry, Judge.
Go ahead.
Judge, I just would wish to, Your Honors, I wish would wish to address just briefly the jurisdictional issue as to the one-year rule. I think that I just wish to point to the court's authority, something I just found that the Fourth Circuit decision was where they had held that there was no jurisdiction of the court to review the issue as to decision on the one-year asylum deadline was vacated by the United States Supreme Court. The case is DIAWARA versus Gonzalez, 2006, Westlaw 37047. Perhaps I just wish to bring that to the court's attention as I found out about it last night. I apologize.
Well, if you want to bring in a supplemental jurisdiction, then you file it with the court with a letter.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Under the rules.
I have nothing further unless the court has questions.
Okay. Thanks. This case will be taken under advisement.